You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to this podcast series on the emerging role of oral SERDs in HR positive, HER2 negative early breast cancer. This is the third of a three-part episode series hosted by Med Learning Group and designed to meet the needs of oncology teams that treat patients with breast cancer. I'm Shpitim, a medical director at Med Learning Group, and I'll be the host of today's podcast. In this episode, we'll cover some important considerations about shared decision-making, including safety and other considerations around adherence to endocrine therapy in early breast cancer. And joining me again today and throughout this series is Dr. Rena Callahan, breast medical oncologist and clinical professor of medicine at UCLA. Dr. Callahan, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we mentioned in the first podcast of this series, challenges with adherence with endocrine therapy in early breast cancer, which in part do drive the risk of recurrence and mortality. How common is non-adherence or patients that don't adhere to the recommended full 5 years of endocrine therapy?
Great question. Non-adherence is a major issue. When we look at different data sets in which, you know, patients are being honest, maybe they're filling out a survey as opposed to looking at you in the clinic, where the fall off is dramatic, where maybe half, 40 to 50% of patients complete their full 5 years. And then those patients whom you recommend for extended endocrine therapy, there's an even greater fall off after that, with very few getting to year 10. And this isn't just, you know, patient is non-compliant or non-adherent. This isn't just an abstract issue. It has clinical consequences. It has been demonstrated over and over again that non-adherence leads to decreased survival. So in a nutshell, if you don't take the medication that is meant to prolong your life, it is not going to work to do that for you. So this is a major issue, but, you know, it's not as simple as, you know, rah-rah telling patient that, you know, they need to continue with the endocrine therapy, that efficacy, you know, that's only part of it. They have to live their lives, and the reasons for decreased compliance or non-adherent are really important. I've had patients come into the office in tears, saying that they don't feel like themselves. They feel like they have an extremely low quality of life on these therapies. So it's not just, you know, a patient that's just deciding not to comply with therapy because she doesn't realize how important it is. It can be a major quality of life issue. So with the aromatase inhibitors, I hear over and over again about arthralgias and musculoskeletal pain. So patients have told me that they feel like they're, you know, 100 years old overnight because they're so stiff and achy. And that is the most common cause of discontinuation. There are other side effects as well. Bone density loss and osteoporosis, which can lead to fractures, which is cumulative over time. So these medications are being given to women at a time period when they're losing a lot of bone density anyway, due to menopause or because we put them on ovarian function suppression. It can have mood symptoms, hot flashes that can keep them up all night, dryness, skin, hair, nails, vaginal dryness that can impact intimacy, relationships with their partners, sexual dysfunction, even cognitive dysfunction, cardiovascular effects. So these can't be taken lightly. Tamoxifen, there is less of the arthralgias and the musculoskeletal pain. Not as efficacious as the aromatase inhibitors. That's why we prefer to use the aromatase inhibitors for women after menopause or higher risk premenopausal women to whom we're given ovarian function suppression. But it can cause those mood changes, hot flashes, It's associated with thromboembolic events. There is that low but real risk of endometrial cancer. And then the ovarian function suppression that we have to add to aromatase inhibitors for premenopausal patients, add those menopausal symptoms, and there is that abrupt estrogen deprivation. They did not ease into menopause, but it happened overnight, and that carries additional tolerability issues. The oral SERDs have a different tolerability profile. You can get those menopausal effects in the metastatic setting. Some of the oral SERDs, notably elacestrin, is associated with some nausea, but when taken with food, this decreases it dramatically. Imlunestrin in the metastatic setting is associated with an increase in lower GI toxicities such as diarrhea. Giredestrin in lidERA, which was the early breast cancer study comparing giredestrin with standard of care endocrine therapy as initial endocrine therapy in those first 5 years, giredestrin demonstrated a favorable toxicity profile when compared with the aromatase inhibitors. There were comparable overall adverse events rates as well as grade 3-4 adverse events, but there were fewer discontinuations due to adverse events with giredestrin versus aromatase inhibitors. So about 5% or so with giredestrin compared with about 8% with aromatase inhibitors. And then musculoskeletal pain, which was a leading cause of discontinuation with aromatase inhibitors, led to fewer discontinuations in the giredestrin group. So 4% or so, 4 to 5% of patients on aromatase inhibitors in this study discontinued due to musculoskeletal pain, and only about 1.5% with giredestrin. So this, you know, was, it cut that risk in a third. And then there are patients who start a therapy and then need to switch to a distant therapy, you know, due to tolerability, toxicity issues. And this happened less frequently with giredestrin. So hopefully this also leads to greater adherence outside of a clinical trial. And then hopefully that translates to fewer recurrences.
Thank you for putting that into perspective and diving deeper in non-adherence, which is a real issue, and for the overview of the safety profiles contributing to non-adherence. Looking at the potential application of this next generation oral SERDs in early breast cancer, particularly thinking of the adjuvant setting, how important is it to recognize and address these side effects to optimize their therapeutic potential?
I think that it's extremely important and that we need to be proactive about this and be open and honest with a patient to set expectations from the beginning. No one wants to be taken by surprise. So I think it's important to take a little bit of extra time, either the physician or the APP or the pharmacist, to sit down with the patient and say, you know, not to scare them, we're not using scare tactics, but to say there are side effects, they don't happen with everyone, but these are potential side effects that you and I can both look out for and try to manage because we have ways of mitigating these side effects, and then go through them. You know, the most common cause, the thing that I kind of group them into, there are side effects that are more serious and then side effects that may be less serious but more common. And those are important because they can lead to non-adherence. So for example, a serious side effect in the way that I think about it would be something like venous thromboembolism or endometrial cancer or a cardiovascular event. Right. But then those that may not be serious, but are a major issue with adherence would be those things like joint pain and stiffness and dryness. And so just really laying them out for the patient, bringing the patients back for a visit 6 to 8 weeks after starting, potentially to get on top of side effects and maybe institute treatments for hot flashes, for pain, maybe to intervene by making very specific recommendations on exercise and stretching, which can be incredibly helpful. I found stretching in the morning, doing Pilates, cuts down on the joint side effects, and weight-bearing exercise can improve bone density. So really being proactive about this, potentially getting a gynecologist involved can be really helpful.
Thank you. And then in closing, what are some practical steps or considerations for the oncology teams about monitoring managing toxicities within the cryotherapy and potentially with oral SERDs when they become available, including multidisciplinary coordination? I know you mentioned some of this already, but just some practical points on that.
So I think that, you know, whenever a new drug is approved, we find out about it first, right? The treating physician. But we need to disseminate this information to the patient's care team because the patient may see her primary care doctor. And we want to have their buy-in and support and understanding of why we are using this therapy and what the potential side effects may be. So in that way, it's a multidisciplinary team approach. Then we should have, just like we do with chemotherapy, we usually have a chemotherapy information session before starting. We can do the same thing with endocrine therapy, including oral SERDs. So explain why we are using this therapy and what some of the side effects and tolerability issues may be. Give them expectations. Have regularly scheduled visits either with the physician or with the APP more often during the first 6 months and definitely in the first year. Give them information on how to communicate with you. I mean, we have a patient portal, and so often we can answer quick questions in that way, but for longer questions, we can let a patient know that she has to come in to discuss this. There are ways, you know, I have some patients that have difficulty remembering to take their medication every day. So there are apps on the phone that can be used this. There's good old fashioned, you know, Monday through Sunday pill cases, all sorts of ways in which we can help a patient adhere to therapy. But the most important thing is, you know, building that trust and communication with the care team. All right. And thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to have this conversation with you about these advancements in early breast cancer. I'm looking really forward to using some of these new therapies in my own practice.
Thank you. And that's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank Dr. Callahan again for taking the time to speak with us today and throughout this series. And thanks to all of you for joining us. If you haven't already, I invite you to listen to the first two podcasts in the series to learn more about risk stratification in early breast cancer and the rationale and evidence with emerging oral SERDs in this setting. Hopefully, you're able to tune in and to also explore the many other types of CME programs that MedLearning Group offers. In support of improving patient care, MedLearning Group is jointly accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education, or ACCME, the Accreditation Council for Pharmacy Education, or ACPE, and the American Nurses Credentialing Center, ANCC, to provide continuing education for the healthcare team. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. I'd like also to give a special thank you to Genentech, a member of the Roche Group, who provided an unrestricted grant for this educational activity. Thank you again and have a great day.